Welcome to the Free Your Mind podcast. Have you ever wondered what visionaries are talking about at a coffee shop? Have you ever wanted to be part of their conversation? I'm Claudia Cometta, and each week my co-host Amber Connolly and I are going to bring those coffee chats to you. We will bring you tips to help you break up with negativity, separate from toxic relationships, and ditch the scarcity mindset so you can free your mind, connect to your soul, and create the positive, authentic life of abundance you have always imagined. We are anything but basic. We dream big, work hard, and empower others along the way. Get ready to connect to the authentic you. Let's go.
On today's podcast, we have Lori Harder. Lori Harder is founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champ, fitness expert, cover model, turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. You're not going to want to miss this episode. Lori, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm so excited to talk to you guys. This is going to be so fun.
We are so excited to have you. For those of you who don't know, Lori Harder has been one of my biggest role models. And recently I had the pleasure of meeting her on the Oprah Adventure of Your Life, O Magazine cruise. And it was incredible.
You know what's so crazy is I was like, oh my gosh, if more people would have known like how much just like access they have to everyone on the ship, like how we were able to just hang out with Oprah, like all the Oprah crew, and like anyone on the ship could hang out with the whole Oprah crew. And like, I was just like, this is very accessible. Like,
So then to accessible. Meet
you and you're like, oh, I'm going to be there. I'm like, cool, maybe I'll see you. I didn't know how big it was going to be. And then I'm like, cool, we're hanging out all week.
Oh, I had serious FOMO. Cool. Oh my God. Amber was sending me pictures and I was like, are you hanging out with Lori? I don't understand. That's amazing. I have to come right now.
You're like, yeah, we're the only people on this boat right now. I'm just kidding. it was like that. Like, it was so much fun.
It was unreal from hearing about it on your podcast and then listening to you for 2 years prior to that. And then now having you on our show is seriously surreal. So thank you so much for being here, Lori.
Yes, but thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So for our listeners who maybe haven't heard of you just yet, would you be able to just give us an overview of your story?
Well, I'm really unexciting. Yes.
Let's see, how far back can I go?
Let's see. We'll try to do this as quickly as possible. So I'm from a really small town in Upper Michigan, and I grew up in a family that was, we were in more of a restrictive religion. I had a really loving childhood, but the reason that I always mention being raised in a restrictive religion is just because it was very isolating, being from a small town and also being really religious. I wasn't able to hang out with people who were outside of my religion. So there were really only like two or three girls who were even remotely near my age. And then being homeschooled through high school, I didn't have a lot of people in my life. So small town, not a ton of people in your life can lead to really believing that the beliefs of the people around you are how things are. Mm-hmm. And it's just how it is and it's how it's going to be. So growing up, I come from a family as well who just always the belief was that we had bad genetics and that, you know, everyone was overweight and we struggled with our weight and that life was hard and that money was hard to come by. So it wasn't until I was a teenager that some of these beliefs, like some holes started getting poked in these beliefs when I was meeting people from either outside of my religion, or I met some people who were actually in my religion but lived 3 hours away. And something that really changed that moment of realizing that maybe the things that I believed weren't what was really happening in the world or what was true for me was I was about 14 years old, and it was the first time that I had like gone away for a week, basically, because I met this girl who was still in my church so I could hang out with her, but she lived so far away that we'd have to go spend like weeks at a time because my parents were like, I'm not driving that far. So I went and stayed at her house for like a whole week. It was like 7 or 8 days. And I came home and I had lost 5 pounds. Like I literally was like, wait a minute. How did that just happen? Because I've been dieting since I was 8 years old. No lie. I got on my, went on my first diet at 8 years old because my whole family were habitual dieters. And like, I was like, my dad told me I was chubby at 8 years old. So it was like, and don't get me wrong, love him. But that's just the language that was used all the time. Mm-hmm. So I had this epiphany that was like, wait a minute, life isn't like, this isn't genetics, it's choices. Because when I was there for the week, it's like we ate 3 square meals, like nothing crazy. It wasn't like super health food or anything. It was just like very 3 square meals. And we played outside and we were like super active. We didn't snack at all at night. I felt completely different. I didn't feel as anxious. We weren't eating as much sugar. Like it was really hearty food, like very much like meat, potatoes, or meat and vegetables or things like that. So that was just a really eye-opening moment for me that I started diving in even deeper into like health and fitness. And unfortunately, but fortunately, this was also a moment where I really started to take control over my life and say like, I'm not going to spend as much time doing those things with my family that make me feel bad or make me, you know, feel a certain way. So I started really isolating myself even more so that I could feel better and make fitness a priority and work out in the evening instead of sit and watch TV and have, you know, 3 or 4 different snacks. And I'm just like, I can say this to my family now, and I'm just being honest, it was really bad habits. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, it was just like, I had to separate myself. And I got a lot of slack for it from my family. Like, why don't you want to hang out with us? Why don't you want to do this or that? But there was something internal in me that just had broken open, where movement for me became like this spiritual awakening. Like it was the first time I felt really happy. It was the first time I could like hear my soul. It was the first time like I was really able to like see and feel dreams coming to life, because my whole life I'd always been a big dreamer. Like I didn't know what that was, but I've always been like a visionary or a dreamer. And when I really started to take care of myself is when I could access even more of that, like even see even more of what's possible. And I think that's so true for so many people now, is that we don't really even know what's possible. We don't even know what we're capable of. We don't even think that we're dreamers or have visions for our life, because we're not actually moving our bodies or taking care of ourselves or feeding that dream, you know? So those were the times for me that just really cracked me open to what I want to do. And it was my early 20s that I started to say, okay, fitness completely transformed me from the inside out. You know, it was like, I was anxious. I, you know, had a lot of just fear. I had a lot of just different things around what I believed in, you know, money and people and just so many different things like that, that it was my 20s that fitness became a foundation for me to want to help people. So I did that for a long time. And then after that, what happened is I opened a gym, which was amazing. I thought it was the like epitome of the top of my dreams, like opening a gym and also doing, you know, different things in the fitness industry, fitness competitions. And after years and years being able to like land on covers and things like that. So I thought I was at like the top of where I thought I'd ever be in my life. But what was happening is that I was really finding that, number one, I wasn't as happy as I thought I would be. And number two, I really started diving into personal development and mindset. And I realized that I couldn't get the results that I wanted for my clients and that they wanted if we didn't work with mindset as well, because I was finding it was playing such a huge part in my life, mm-hmm. just really changing your beliefs and your fear around all these different ideas and what's possible, that I was like, I'm going to go all in on this. So when I started to incorporate that into the way that I trained people and the way that I put, you know, programs out online, because I had started some online programs, it was like, whoa, like this was not super talked about in the fitness world yet. Like, oh, we have to train the mind first for the body to follow. Like that was a bit of a foreign concept. Like it was just train the body more, eat better. And it was like, okay, well, why can some people get results and other people can't? And so fast forward, I just became so much more interested in the mindset part that I realized that if you focus the most on pursuing your passion, whatever that is, or just really learning to like you and make you feel valuable and make you like yourself by, you know, following your curiosities, like the body actually follows. Because you eat out of boredom and you eat out of anxiety and you eat out of depression, out of the idea that you're not actually becoming the you that you were sent here to be. So when you follow that first, it's kind of like the body and the health and everything else just gets figured out eventually.
I loved so many parts of that, Lori. That was beautiful.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I think that it's so important for people to make that connection, because I think a lot of times it's not, you know, we totally segment parts of our lives, you know, much like the medical field, and we have, you know, an ENT and we have a GI doc and we have this, and we segment parts of our lives, and to bring all that together and realize that, you know, we're whole beings and the focus has to be as a whole being. That's super powerful. How do you feel like you were able to, because so many people maybe aren't or haven't made the decision to move from using those pieces of your childhood that could have been excuses of why not to. So being overweight and being anxious and being exposed to a strict religious background, using those as excuses of why you can't be successful, and turning that around to reasons why you had to be to help others in similar situations.
I mean, that's such a great question, because it was the realization that there's always only two choices in life. There's always only two choices. That's it. And when I really started to become aware, and I'll talk about this in one second, but when I really started to become aware that bad things happen to everyone, everybody has a story. And when you are so solely focused on your story and you're not actually connecting with people and you're not sharing it with people and you're not actually willing, the key word here is willing to want to show up to move past it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many things that we want to sit in that blame, and we want people to feel our pain, and, you know, we want to just like use that as an excuse, because honestly, at the end of the day, we're all so afraid of moving forward and getting outside of that comfort zone and doing things that scare us because of judgment or people not liking us or us getting kicked out of the club or, you know, not having our parents love anymore or our best friend or our spouse or whatever that looks like. But at the end of the day, it's like the two choices are you either get to sit in the misery of that story, because everybody's got it, and you can keep on building on that story, and you can make it so big that, yeah, people feel bad for you and you feel bad for you and you sit in it and it becomes you and it's your identity and that's who you are. And people are like, hey, it's okay, because that really happened and that sucks, and never move forward. And that's one choice. So, I mean, that's it. That's the choice. So sit with it.
Yeah.
like, I think really go there. Like, I want people listening to this podcast. Here's what makes people successful. Is that a successful person right now with a super traumatic story, like just picture the most traumatic story, they're able to sit in that and be like, yeah, if I sit in this for the rest of my life, this is it. It doesn't get better. You're able to pull your future choices into the future and feel them now. Or you can actually look and project and look at what your choice is. If you change that choice, what can happen in the future? So it's like, okay, my choice is stay here, keep doing what I'm doing and keep feeling this pain, which is only going to get worse because pain just attracts more pain and it amplifies. So the other option is to take that story and make it mean something. I mean, like, make it mean anything. And there's going to be some people who might listen to this or who listen to positive people who say, you know, oh, that's a bunch of bull crap, or you're taking, you know, trying to make silver lining out of, you know, horrible things or whatever that looks like. But honestly, your life only means what you make it. And that is it. Like, that is the only thing that your life is the meaning that you put on it. So I'm always going to cast an empowering meaning on anything that happens to me, no matter how bad it is, because that is my only choice. I can sit in it and make it worse, or I can decide to make it mean something to me that's empowering, such as use what happened to you as a story to share how you get through and keep going. Like, because this happened, this is why I keep showing up for all of the people that a similar story has happened to. Or because this happened, I now want to use this or take this or make this foundation for kids who might be going through this now, or, you know, for women who might be going through abuse, or for people who've gone through something traumatic and feel like because this happened, they don't get to have a shot at their future. Like, make it mean something and show how you can still live a happy, if not happier. I mean, I will argue that the happiest people have gone through super traumatic things because they've had the contrast, and the contrast is what makes, you know, the happy the happiest. And the contrast is what makes you feel, you know, what the difference between like borderline, like medium joy is and like ultimate joy. It's knowing what the opposite of ultimate joy feels like. So that's always my two choices, is when something happens, I'm like, how much time do you need to get through it? And what are you going to make this mean afterward? Because I'm never going to sit in it and be like, oh, that's it. That's the end. And this is why I can't move on and do anything, because this is our life we're talking about. Like, it's ultimately like the, it's just what you're thinking. Like, your life is only what you're thinking, because nobody else cares. Like, even my husband, I've been married 16 years, and I'm not saying he's not a caring person, but I also know that if I don't make myself happy, like, it's going to start showing up in his life, and ultimately he can't make me happy. So it's everybody's singular job to make sure that they are creating a meaning in their life that means something to them.
So powerful.
So, so powerful, Lori. I loved everything about what you just said. I felt my heart skip as you were talking. I'm like, yes, sister, preach it. So what I love so much about following you, Lori, is this is not just something that you speak to on your podcast or something that you speak about as you travel and do speaking engagements. This is something that you truly live. And as one of your followers, it's so fun to watch you pivot and to go from doing different women's gathering events to launching a book to releasing a podcast where you did a spoken word poem that was beautiful. How do you keep growing?
Thank you for that. That's probably one of my favorite things that I like. One of the things that makes me the most proud in my life right now, and kind of like what I was saying before, it's about you liking you. And I like me when I follow my curiosities. I like me when I make myself proud and learn something new. So learning is a huge thing for me. And I actually think it's pretty much huge for every human being, because we are ultimately all creators and we want to be evolving and learning. So for me, learning new things, just whether it's with my hands or whether it's spoken word or anything like that, it's not just learning it, it's we want to share it. So I think nothing has value until it's shared. So we can write poetry all day long, but if you never share it with a friend or like share it with someone or write it to someone, I feel like ultimately you're kind of like, okay, that was great, but what, you know? So there's a lot of things that you can enjoy on your own, but shared just gives it so much more value. But continuing to remind myself that it's not about, this is just a huge thing in my life right now. That's really a message for me this year, like moving into 2019, like it's not about doing the thing that, you know, either makes you popular or makes you money or what everybody else is doing because it's working for them. It's about making you proud and making you happy and following your interests. And for some people, that might mean pivoting all the time. That might mean like in this time, we're getting these messages because we can. Like, you can have an online business one day and then you could be doing something completely different the next day. You can't necessarily be pivoting the way that I am without a good foundation. Like, I'm able to pivot quicker now, as in, oh, I want to focus more on my podcast now over, you know, writing the book or whatnot, because I took so much time and consistency to build something that brought me, that is now bringing me like residual incomes throughout my life. So I will say there's a time and a place for like, you know, if you're in the beginning phases of your life, you probably can't be like, this month I'm doing this and this month I'm doing that and this month I'm doing this. Like, people have to, the reason that I can pivot is because I'm so consistent with how I show up though in the world. Like, I may be pivoting in what I'm doing, but I'm still going to be the person every single day on, you know, social media or on my podcast who's providing like positive information. So be known for something, but be able to pivot within that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I love that you mentioned your book because I wanted to talk about your book. It happens to be quite amazing. And I really hope that our listeners grab it because it's pretty life-changing. It's called A Tribe Called Bliss. And you said something really profound in the book that I wanted to highlight. And it is, remember that some people are meant to be with you through the entire saga of your life, others for one movie, and some just for a brief scene. I so love that. Could you expand on this and how being willing to let go has helped you on your journey?
Oh my goodness. That's such a, it's so funny when people read different things from my book, I'm like, oh wow, I wrote that. That's great. You're just like in flow mode. So you're getting access to things you don't normally get access to. But that's such an important piece of the puzzle for how I've been able to achieve anything that I've wanted. And when I say achieve, just become the person that you want to become. Because especially, and I don't want to generalize, but I'm also going to say, like, from my experience, the women in my life have been people pleasers. So I am like a recovering people pleaser. And I think a part of that is thinking that you need to make everyone happy and carry them with you. So if you had a great moment with somebody, like, oh my God, at this party, and you had so much fun and you really connected, you're like, oh my God, we need to be friends. Okay, how do I make time in my already busy schedule to make time for this person? And now I'm feeling guilty because I don't get enough time with this person, and I'm trying to fit this into my schedule, and now this is overwhelming. Oh, I just met this person. Oh my God, what about my old friends? Now they don't really fit with these new people, so I want to have this get together, except this person doesn't fit with this person, so now I'm not even going to do it because that's like a disaster. Oh no, now I have my family over here that I don't really enjoy these people, but it's out of obligation that I absolutely have to go here, and I have a horrible holiday every year, but I keep on doing it. Like, really looking at your life in the way of, am I doing things that actually feel good with people who are good people that I want to be around in my life? Not saying your family is bad, but hey, we all have people in our family that are bad or bad for us, or maybe are like mentally abusive to us or a bit verbally abusive, and we keep going back for more of it. It's like, really look at your life and say, this is what I'm tolerating right now. So write a list of what am I tolerating in my life, or who am I tolerating who really actually blocks so much of my joy and makes me miserable, because you are not meant to carry everybody in your life. Like, we're actually supposed to just have beautiful moments with people and let it be just that. Like, don't rob the joy of a beautiful moment by trying to now take that moment and project it onto the future because you think you're supposed to like now carry them into your whole life. Like, let it happen. This is one of the biggest things that I say to myself. Like, just let it evolve naturally. Like, just let it happen. If this woman is meant to be in your life, or this person that you had this great interaction with, like, they will probably show up again. And if not, then it was making room for something else. Now, there are times you have to get intentional. Like, if you are trying to now build a new tribe because you don't have friends, or you're trying to make new room, yes, you absolutely have to get intentional. And that means, you know, maybe going to where they are, wanting to connect intentionally with them, but in a way that isn't exhausting, in a way that sets the expectation on both parties. So that's been really huge in my life, because I will tell you, I look back at the chapters of my life, and even who was really a main key player in my life like 4 years ago isn't necessarily a key player. Like, I even change coaches every single year. So someone who feels like this, and it is, sometimes I keep them for longer, but like, I'm constantly changing. So that person, unless it's someone that I'm just feeling like really vibing with, like moving forward, I'll probably switch because I'm focusing on something different. Mm-hmm. So that's been huge, because I find people who keep staying with the same person, or, oh my God, I'm not getting results from my therapist, but I'm going to keep staying with them. I'm like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. But I feel bad. You know what I mean? Oh, my doctor's okay. My therapist is okay. Or I feel guilty about this, or yeah, but this person has this, so I feel guilty. And it's like, okay, it's actually not serving you. It's blocking you from your bigger mission and purpose in the world. And then you're also teaching whoever's watching you, whether that be your kids or your sister or your friend, like, you're also reinforcing the bad habit of like thinking you have to drag people in your life, or you're not a nice girl, or you're not a nice person, or You know, we get so much of our validation in life off of, do people think I'm nice? Do they like me? Oh my God, I can't be a mean girl. I can't be bad. I can't be a bitch. I can't be. And it's like, there's so much of the guilt factor. If you did not have that, if you literally did not have other people's opinions, who would you be hanging out with? And that is a serious question that you need to sit down and look at.
More people need to hear that, Lori. Permission just to step into you and be you without concern of opinion. That's huge.
I feel like it's, I mean, I think it's one of the most important things, because I know that what we're afraid of most, I think, is just offending people. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that offending people is not you. It's actually them. So if they get offended, that's not you offending them. That's you being you in the most, and I'm not saying that you say it in a rude way or you show up in a way that makes people feel bad, but if you're nicely letting or turning people down or creating boundaries, that's not you offending at all. That's you making room for your life and your desires and the people that you love. So someone being offended is actually completely on them. So if you can remember that, like, okay, people are going to get offended, but it's not a me thing. It's actually a them thing. Like, it's their job to get over being offended. And if they can't do that, then it's your job to release that they're offended. Like, it switches back and forth. It's like, okay, if they're offended, they can, you know, hopefully they get over it. But if they can't get over it, it's now your turn to get over that they're offended.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know for me, sometimes I struggle with the whole, I don't want to let someone else down. And then I go back to, well, aren't I letting them down if I show up, if I really don't want to be there, if my mind is preoccupied with other things, if I'm not fully present, if I can't show up and be my full self there, why would I even go?
Oh my God. I do that all the time. I literally, and there are times where I do think it's like, it's like a dance. It's always a dance, right? Because there are places where you're like, oh, I feel like I can't fully be myself yet. Like, and being really honest with yourself, is it because you don't know them well enough yet? Or is it because they absolutely, like, you think that you can't be yourself, even though you could be? So I ask those questions too, but ultimately at the end of the day, I do feel like you have a pretty good intuitive, we all have a pretty good intuitive guide that you can be like, okay, is this person for me or not? And sometimes if we just ask that question, like if you sat quiet right now with your eyes closed and you pictured this person that you weren't sure about and you put your hand on your heart and on your stomach, like, and ask that question, I'm pretty sure you'd get a really brief answer, that you'd be like, huh. And then you probably try to drown it out and give some other back and forth. But the first answer is 99.99999% accurate. So that's just a little practice sometimes I'll do and just be like, okay, have more faith in yourself.
Such great reminders that we hold the power to make those decisions. And there are seasons of life. And I love the visual of the movie, you know, the saga versus the scene. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm such a visual person. I can see that visually that, yeah, that, you know, some people just aren't meant to be with you through the whole movie. So I loved that part of the book.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's just that knowing that you're going to have a few main characters in life. And I talk about that in the book too, but you're going to have a lot of supporting cast, and like the supporting cast is so important to just let them be the supporting cast, because they support the main character to show up as the main characters. Like, your main people in your life cannot show up fully as them without all of these people that you allow in and out. So like my husband or some of my best girlfriends can't show up in those ways, and I can't think of them in that, like, really, oh my gosh, these are my people, if I'm having so many expectations on them that the supporting cast is actually meant to have. Like, some, my girlfriends who I'm going to like go on a soul level and go super deep with and like talk about, you know, maybe crazy spiritual things and all of this different stuff that I just want to analyze the crap out of. Like, that's probably not the girl that I'm going to just be like, you know what? I don't want to talk about work. I don't want to talk about meditating. I just want to go have some wine and giggle. Like, yes. It's probably not the same girl. So if I put that same thing on, you know, some of my girlfriends who I'm just like, oh my God, let's have a crystal and moon ceremony. Like, it's not the same person. So I have many facets that are like that. So I have like my adventure friends. I have my snowboarding girlfriend who her and I are just going to like go and laugh and have fun and drink beer and snowboard. And then I have the other ones who like, we're just going to analyze and talk about books and like life and maybe past lives and like not the same person. So they can't show up like the way that they're supposed to in my life with me going, well, why can't you be this though? Well, why don't you want to go surf? Like, why don't you want to go surf? Or why don't you want to go read this? Or it's just so much better when you can have the supporting cast to make the other people shine even more in your life.
Mm, I love that.
I love that so much. So what are you most excited about, Lori, hopping into 2019?
I am creating so much space. So like, it's actually one of the hardest things I've ever done because I'm saying no all the time. Like, it's actually quite painful, and I'm observing like my inner, like, total inner judge being like, oh my God, people aren't going to like you. They're going to be like, oh, what a diva. She keeps saying no to my, like, why can't she just do my podcast? Like, but it's not just one. It's like so many. So it's like, I'm literally like, you have to draw a line to make room for what you want, which is for me, I have a couple ideas, really brewing right now. And I don't quite, they're not super clear yet, but they need, the only thing that I know is they need a ton of space. Like, I have been grinding it out for the past 8 years. I'm not going to lie. You know, when people are like, oh, flow and space, that has not been me. like, I have been like legit, like working just about every day for the past 8 years. I don't recommend it. I'll never do it again. But I needed that for myself and to really learn so much about myself. So I'm requiring a lot of space, and I'm learning a lot right now. So I'm most excited about giving myself space for more play and more room and more ideas and creativity to come through. And that's what I'm most excited about. And I'm most challenged by it as well. So I guess those are two really good things.
Those are really good things. And you just keep growing and putting out great content. We all need to hear it.
Yes. So can you tell our listeners who maybe don't know you yet all of the amazing places they can find you? So you've got an amazing podcast, you do an event, and so we just want them to know where they can find all of your amazingness.
Thank you guys so much. So my event is called The Bliss Project, and it's coming up in March. So that is at theblissproject.info. So funny, I was just on like four calls before this for it. It's going to be freaking amazing. I hope you guys can make it.
I'm going to be there.
Oh my God. It's like, I can't even. Okay. We just so many like different artists and musicians and just creatives and just everyone and anyone like with, you know, goals just to be a better friend or goals to be a business mogul. Like, it's everything. And we connect on, you know, a human level. So it's magical because everyone has something to offer everyone, even if you think you don't. And then let's see, the podcast is earnyourhappy.com, which is going to be my main thing this year. Like, I'm just going to focus on that because I'm obsessed with conversations like this with you guys. So if you go in the direction of what is like what you're loving the most. And so that's really what I'm learning is, that's another thing this year. Go in the direction of what you love the most. So earnyourhappy.com, and then just what else? Just Instagram. Yeah. Lori Harder.
Check her out. She's changed my life.
Yes, please. We have been just listening to your podcast, talking about the episodes, chatting today about your Instagram post that you are either at 10 million or close to 10 million downloads, which I feel like our audience needs to know that because that's such a huge accomplishment. It's like a number you can't even, it's just not even a number you can imagine. So kudos to you for making such a huge impact on all of your audience. And I hope that all of our audience sees that, hears that, and begins to follow you and gets the similar impact that we have been getting. So thank you for all that you do.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys for having me on. Thank you for a beautiful conversation. Amber, I'm so excited that our paths crossed and that I get to see you at Bliss. And I'm just always so in love with when women, people, whatever, human beings do podcasts because it's such a gift, I think, for everyone involved. It's just taking the conversations that we all need to hear so that we are not alone. So thank you guys for showing up consistently and doing that.
Thank you, Lori.
What a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Free Your Mind podcast. We were so excited to bring you this episode, and we hope that you find it as enlightening as we did as well. I just want to take a minute to reflect as we are now on episode 11 of this podcast, and we are so grateful to the community of amazing followers who have left us such positive feedback and reviews. And we're so grateful to the guests who have come on and shared their insights with you all. We hope that you have been loving the podcast and having takeaways from each episode. We would so appreciate it if you could leave a review on iTunes for us, an honest way to give feedback and allow others to find our content as well. Thank you all for sticking with us. We have so much more amazing content planned, so we hope to see you on a future episode again soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.